afternoon. Today is Monday, April the 6th, 96th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills.
Good afternoon.
Hey, you know what?
What?
For another 2 hours or so, the Padres are undefeated.
That won't last
very
long. Just
thought I'd bring that one out for you, just for the brief moment.
They actually did a lot of recruiting in the offseason.
Yeah.
It's still the Padres, though.
No, I'm just thinking up the road. The Dodgers have spent $300 million this year on staff on the field.
That's L.A.
Yeah. I'm sorry, anybody that's spending 20% over New York Yankees, they better win or somebody's really going to be in trouble. Shoot. And on a less jovial note, I don't know if you probably don't know who Lon Simmons was.
No.
Damien probably doesn't either, but for those of us who grew up here or who have been Giant and A's fans since the teams came here, he was the voice for me. He was the voice. He was the sports radio announcer. Period, bar none. Anyway, Lon passed yesterday.
Oh,
at 91. So there's a number of good obits that are out there. San Jose Mercury had a good one. The Chronicle, SF Gate had one. There are a couple of other places, or you can just YouTube and listen to the home run calls and the fun and all that kind of stuff. So, I don't know. I'm sure you got something to talk about. I mean, you're looking about as formal as you get.
Well, sitting back here in the chair. All
yeah. Kicked back with all the brass when we come back.
All right.
Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Andy Mills. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Sir Winston Churchill. Quote, "When I look back on all these worries, I remember the story of the old man who said on his deathbed that he had had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which never happened." So what's going on out there, Kemosabe?
Oh, man, it's been busy. A lot going on. A lot of good stuff.
Okay. Give us two.
Not so good stuff.
What are the cool things?
Well, we've served a bunch of search warrants and closed down the Blue Heron, and now we've hit twice.
That hasn't been a month yet?
Probably.
Okay.
And then we arrested some more people there out of the same place.
On the backside?
Out of the backside. And then we also hit 833 H Street two times within the last week, getting drugs and sales out of both.
Okay, is that the one that's like a block up from the Historical Society?
Yeah, it's the two-story stucco.
Oh, okay. Common ownership.
Si, senor.
Okay. Twice in the last week?
Yeah, today they hit it. Drug Task Force hit it and got... I believe like a quarter or a half pound of meth and a bunch of heroin, and it was the manager this time.
Okay.
Who was the manager of the Blue Heron, too, by the way.
Okay. So let's step back. Is that a lot? A half pound if we're going to the deli market.
Yeah.
A half pound, okay.
Well, a half pound is not a sandwich, let's put it that way. It's, a tenth of a gram is typically a dose.
Okay. And for those of us who flunked metrics...
A lot of dope.
Okay. Yeah. That's about as deep as I got in the metric system, too.
Yeah. A gram is like a packet of Equal that you put in your in your drink.
Okay.
So you might be able to get up to 10 doses out of that.
Per ounce, and it was a half a pound?
Yeah.
That sounds like it's a lot of time, somebody doing this stuff.
Yes.
We used to hear the stories predating you guys, but you know, in the bathtubs. And they would be doing it in the garage, making the manufacturing of meth and all this stuff.
Yes.
Where does it happen now? That never seems to be part of the story anymore.
No, there's very little meth made here in the United States now. Most of it's south of the border because it's very hard to get ephedrine, one of the key ingredients of methamphetamine. So you have to import it, and so a lot of it comes from China directly into Mexico.
And then it's just brought up?
Yeah, then it'll be smuggled up here after post-production. So you'll have super labs in Mexico that can make 2,000 kilos of methamphetamine.
That's 2.2 pounds. I did remember a couple of things, yeah.
Or about the weight of a gallon of milk.
There you go. Well, okay, fine, if you know my reference points now.
Same era of education. Yeah. Public education for me.
Did you have to deal with cardinal sets and supersets in math?
No, I was public education.
Well, so was I.
I thought you weren't to St. Bernard's.
No, the kid did.
Oh, okay.
Not me.
Okay.
No, and Edge. Not me.
Okay.
Yeah. Wrong side of the street.
Yeah. Wrong side of the track.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you didn't have Cardinals sets and supersets, and you're not quite as tainted.
They might have. I just missed that portion.
Oh, I see. You missed that year. So that sounds like it's a pretty big, a happy day this morning. When this pop happened.
Well, I'm happy that it's giving relief to some of those community members in that specific neighborhood who have been complaining and have been telling us this has been going on for a while. This kind of validates their suspicions and maybe help bring them temporary, if not permanent, relief.
Is this enough for this guy to spend time in the Hilton?
Yeah, oh yeah. A half a quarter pound, as you bet.
Okay. So
how much time he might spend in the Hilton, it's a different issue, but yeah, she'll spend a little bit of time in the Jusco.
Same person who had been the manager at the other place,
at the Blue Heron,
too.
Isn't that interesting?
Was that known going into this thing, or was that just kind of surprise?
No, we knew who the targets were. That's what the search warrants are for.
And so you guys execute one of these. I guess that's a proper term to use, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I still see the gun on your hip. I don't want to use it too frivolously here.
Yeah.
Do you go for the person, or are you going through the entire building looking for?
No. An apartment building like that, you'd have to have a search warrant for each and every apartment. So we're very specific in what we're intending to get. The judges won't authorize you to just...
cruise?
To cruise, hey, here's a 1,000-person apartment complex, just,
let's see what we can
go
find.
Go fishing, yeah.
Okay. KINS, News and Information Times 319.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Andy Mills. Andy, as you're looking around town with the activity that's going on, it seems like there's a new bus coming into town probably every 3 or 4 days with new characters on it. Buses?
Oh, okay.
Bus? Yeah.
Bus. I'm trying
20 or 30 new people.
Players.
Yeah, that are wandering the streets, not seeming to do anything. You know, and all the efforts that you guys are doing, the efforts that Betty is doing with the one-way ticket thing, and I know the numbers are staggering, the success, but it seems like there's always five guys waiting at the door to come in to replace the two or three that got taken care of. Is that my personal bias? Is that a myopic vision? Is that reality? We got a lot of new people here.
Well, I think they're... And I can't quantify it in terms of hard data or statistics, but my gut tells me that you're right. There's a increase or influx of a certain type of transient or almost transient person. Because a lot of them aren't just truly transient or homeless people. A lot of them are just meth heads that are living in crappy little apartments or in some of the hotels. So I think that the difference that we're seeing is there's a group that are just don't want to play by the rest of the rules, by the rules of society. And especially out behind the mall, I met with a bunch of business owners on Friday morning out on the south end of town, just frustrated they are. And I get it. I mean, I completely understand, you know, fear of walking out to your car at nighttime in the dark, getting to work in the morning, finding human feces on your doorstep, constant thefts and so forth. And there's a level of players out there that are not going to go with the program.
So why Humboldt County? If, as you alluded to early on, most of the meth is produced out of state, out of the country. Okay, we're 1,500 miles up the coast. Why here? Well, it would seem like it would cost a whole lot more to get it here than it would to sell this garbage in San Francisco or in Fresno, Bakersfield, or just across the line. Why are these people finding us?
Well, first of all, the meth is being sold everywhere. It's not just here. I mean, you know,
right?
It's
but
in,
we
in
don't
large
have the
quantities.
But the new people who are using the stuff arriving here, that seems a little weird.
Yeah, well, I don't know that they're new people as to the area as in I just arrived here from somewhere else, or there are people who have been here and have grown up here and now are
now Rex says that too.
A
lot of these are
in their life.
These are local people.
Well, the survey that we did, you know, and again, it's not scientific, but I think it's pretty accurate. 80% of the people we talked to have been in Humboldt County for more than 5 years. Now, that doesn't mean they grew up here. But most of them have been here for a substantial period of time. Now, I have some theories on maybe why they're coming here. Maybe coming to Trim and then just get lost in the shuffle.
The triangle.
Yeah. Coming up here because of the free and easy lifestyle of, you know, dope and then just hanging on. You know, I think there's different groups. I've told people this. We've identified five groups of transients: the trimmigrants or nomadic wanderers, the seriously mentally ill, the drug addicted or alcohol addicted, the criminal element, and then those who truly are in need of help, who have just lost their home because of medical bills or something else and they need some help. Those folks, we got to get rapidly rehoused. We got to find the resources to get them help. The trimmigrants, guys, go home. We don't want you here. You need to get on a bus and go, and we'll provide those funds for you, but don't come back. Then at least three categories. The seriously mentally ill, they need help, and we don't have the capacity in this county right now to help them. We're working on that. I'm applying for grant money. I think Measure Z money should help on that as well.
Do they need to stay here? Why not do a regional, like, I mean, you know, Vallejo or the Napa? I mean, there used to be those facilities that were regional that if someone was in need of, there were facilities, but it was concentrated. You had the economies of scale. They knew what they were doing. I mean, to have every county try to have experts would be hugely inefficient.
Well, yeah, there's a couple, the different levels, though.
Fair enough.
The guy who's in momentary crisis, get him to Semper Virens, get him medicated, and then figure out what to do. The long-term guys that I have a problem, I totally agree with you. But that's what was gotten rid of in the 80s. And now we're suffering the consequence of that because there's a lot of seriously mentally ill people with nowhere to go. We don't have the capacity to treat them. I don't think that's what you want the police doing.
Or maybe it's a profit center potential. I mean, we could have a large regional facility here.
Absolutely.
Okay, and let others send their folks here. That would work, but I wouldn't think Humboldt County and then Delaware County and Siskiyou and Trinity and on down the line needs to have one of these operational facilities because they just can't.
And some don't even have the minimal facility.
Yeah. So there's recognition of that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And then the criminal element's the last element that needs to be dealt with. We're dealing with that. We've taken 12 guns off of transients behind the mall in the last month and a half. Put a lot of them in jail as well.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
The Flame of Learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back talking shop this afternoon and taking grief during the breaks.
Exactly.
Andy Mills from Eureka PD is here. Andy, as you look at some of the stuff that's going on in, I guess I'd say our region, probably not accurate to just point out one city or another because California is dealing with some of the challenges, and certainly our area is kind of one area, if you will. Is there anything that's going on that looks like it would either be providing relief in this general arena or, conversely, compounding some of the challenges that you're dealing with today so that tomorrow may be even more difficult?
Yeah, there's some bills going through our legislature right now. There's three in particular. I believe the numbers are AB 35 and 1335 by Tony Adkins out of San Diego that would provide help to housing the homeless and giving more money to mental health services to actually deal with some of these problems on a permanent basis. Strongly support from what I've read so far.
So that would be money in addition to the structure from the state.
That's right, to help with these problems. Because when they took away all the redevelopment money to pad their coffers and balance their budget, they completely killed the rest of us. So that money will actually be targeted and be perfect to help out with rapid rehousing and dealing with some of these things that are really tough for the local government. But there's one other bill, I believe it's AB 608, that is called the REST Act. R-E-S-T. And the REST Act is basically that in any public space, anybody can set up a tent or a place to sleep and let that be their domain. This would be terrible law.
You mean like the sidewalk?
Sidewalk, private, any place where, if as I understand parks. The bill, parks, open space, any place where someone has the right to go, they would have the right to go and set up camp.
Beaches, trails,
all that kind of stuff? Beaches, trails, you name it. And while we're very concerned for those who are less fortunate and want to and need to be able to rest at nighttime, that is not a solution. That does not make sense to anybody in government. The California Chiefs of Police Association, as well as many others, are opposing it.
Well, I could think just here locally. I mean, we've got the situations dealing with currently, but the South Spit was taken over for years.
Right. And when it became a
health
hazard.
I'm sure you've seen some of the pictures.
Yeah.
You know, holy cow. I mean, that could be anywhere in the state?
Anywhere in the city.
Oh, this is just in cities?
No. Anywhere in the state.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Puts a whole different level of fun into the new park.
Yeah, yeah. I think the McKay track would be a good spot for that.
Uh-huh.
Just outside the city limits.
Yeah, yeah. Spoken like a true Arcadian.
Yeah.
as you look at that kind of a thing at the state, how do you predict? I mean, you know, what a goofball concept.
Well, I just think it's bad policy, and when you certainly want to take care of people. I mean, you want to make sure that people do have the right to sleep and rest, because one of the things we found from research and literature and so forth is that when you're sleep deprived, mental illness gets worse. And if you're sleeping out and behind the mall, for instance, and you're hearing shots or people walking by or one eye's always open.
Yeah.
You're not going to be a healthy person. And so we want people to be healthy. We want them to get good rest. But this is not good law.
Are there communities that have something set up?
Not that I'm aware of. Like that?
To allow the sleeping.
Well, sure, we do.
I mean, like a warehouse kind of a thing or an unused some, not necessarily like the rescue mission and things of that nature, because, you know, if everybody decides to go to the rescue mission tonight, they don't have enough room to be able to.
No, they don't.
Everybody.
They normally run 20 to 30 open spots.
And how many, you asked, 300-400?
At least.
So yeah. Obviously they couldn't.
They couldn't do it all.
Would it make sense to, you know, for the city? Here I am talking to you like you got juice. Yeah. Get one of those large buildings constructed, the warehouse buildings, and just lay out a series of cots or allow them to camp inside, but then there's not the rainfall and there's supervision?
We definitely need something. And the question is, what does that look like? One thing I know is that we've already got a tent city. We've got, you know, hundreds of tents up behind the mall. And so that's already in place. And without the infrastructure to go with it, there's no toilet facility, there's no showers, there's a lack of security.
What about drinking water and some of that kind of stuff?
Drinking water, there's, you know, and it's so that people can live how they want to live rather than how they need to live. And so those are tough choices that we are going to have to grapple with over this upcoming year.
Is there a will in the community?
That's a good question. I get two extremes oftentimes. I get a lot of people in the middle too, but I get two extremes. Those who are telling me, harass them till they get out of the city. And then others say, don't even talk to them because we don't want the police intimidating them. When I'm speaking of them, the homeless. And but there's middle ground. And we are not going to harass people. We've been very careful and cautious to try to work with the homeless population. We've gone the extra mile, I believe, by implementing the MIST team, by having a mental health worker in the police department to work with the homeless people, to help charities such as Betty Chin, the Rescue Mission, and
all the providers.
Yeah. And we'll work with anybody, because anybody that's providing solutions is I think healthy. And I know there's a lot of nonprofits out there other than the three big ones that are frequently mentioned. But at the same time, we have to do some enforcement, and we do. We arrested over 5,000 people last year.
Individuals?
Yep.
Or individual arrests?
Individuals.
Really? So about 3.5% to 4% of the county population you're having to deal with in this arena?
Yeah. It's because the county population is, what, 140-ish? Ish, yep.
Wow. That's got to be a horrifically high number.
It is a high number.
Compared to most communities.
It's a high number. And
that's just EPD. That's just countywide.
That's just EPD. I think the actual number is like 4,900. I don't have that data right with me.
Wow.
Now, did you ask with same individuals?
Yeah. Are these number of arrests?
No, some are repeat customers.
Okay.
Those are total number of arrests. Okay. Many are repeat customers.
But nonetheless, it's still a pretty good...
Yeah. And that's all the way from being drunk in public multiple times to the high-end stuff that takes us hours to write a report.
KINS, News and Information Times 344. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time, 3:47. Couple final minutes this afternoon with Andy Mills. Just so we can add everything up here, what's going on? I know there was a big push after, St. Louis, help me out, the suburb of St. Louis that was...
Ferguson.
Thank you. With cameras on the cars, cameras on the cops, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and I know CHP's looking at it, I know you guys are looking at it, I know... The county is looking at it as much as anything as an insurance policy for the cops, as well as an independent documentation. Is that something that's coming to a police officer near you?
Stand by for news, according to Paul Harvey. Yeah, we're ready to begin that process. Brian Stevens is responsible for it, but we're doing a ton of research to, A, find not only the best equipment that will last long, because this is very expensive proposition.
I would figure they get beat up pretty good. I mean, just wear and tear always being used.
Wear and tear and always beat up. And then the elements here in Humboldt is a unique thing we have to account for. But most importantly, the storage of that data is what's expensive. People think it's the cameras. It's not. It's the storage. So the cameras run anywhere between $300 and $1,000 a piece. So I'm gonna outfit somewhere in the neighborhood of 45 of our officers with those cameras. Then for every gigabyte of data you download, it's so much money. So the average is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of between $25 and $99 per officer per month.
So about... $1,200, or say $1,000 for simple minds.
Yeah, per officer a year, times 40. This is a lot of money, and so.
And then somebody who knows where it is, so they can retrieve.
Well, that's exactly right. And so then now the policy is important. How long do you keep this data? For a federal lawsuit, you probably need to keep it 2.5 years, but you don't need to keep all of the data that long. And then other things are very important, like can you record while you're in somebody's home without telling them? What about a victim of a sex crime? Do you want to record somebody given that kind of information? How about when the officer is on his break? Do we have the right to record while he or she is on his break? No. So I want to make sure that all the policies are good, that they're accurate, that everybody understands what they are. And they're approved by the community as well as council, and then we'll move forward. So we're going to be slow and deliberate, but at the same time, we're moving forward pretty quickly.
Cool, cool, cool. Thanks for coming by.
You bet.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Andy Mills. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.